वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Canto 10. Chapter 15, entitled The Killing of Denuka, the Ass Demon. Now, text 44 has a purport. And the remaining text at the end of the chapter have no purports. However, this particular chapter is overlapping with the next chapter at the end of this chapter, where Krishna chastises the serpent Kaliya. So it would be better to come back to text 44, 45, 46, 47. Now I'll just read the translations from text 48 to the end of the chapter, which overlaps into the next chapter. And then I'll come back to text 44. We'll do it responsively then. So you need not repeat after me for now. In text 48, I'll just read the first verse in Sanskrit and the rest of the verses with the translation. Atha gavascha gopascha nita gata papi ditya pi ditaha dustam janam papasthasyas Krishnata Vishadu Shitam. And the translation for text 48. At that time, the cows and cowherd boys were feeling acute distress from the glaring summer sun. Afflicted by thirst, they drank the water of the Yamuna River, but it had been contaminated with poison. Text 49 and 50. Translation. As soon as they touched the poisoned water, all the cows and boys lost their consciousness by the divine power of the Lord and fell lifeless at the water's edge. O hero of the Kurus, seeing them in such a condition, Lord Krishna, the master of all masters of mystic potency, felt compassion for these devotees who had no Lord other than them. Thus he immediately brought them back to life by showering his nectarian glands upon them. And text 51, translation. Regaining their full consciousness, the cows and boys stood up out of the water and began to look at one another in great astonishment. And text 52, which is the final text in this chapter. Translation, O King, the cowherd boys then considered that although they had drunk poison and in fact had died, simply by the merciful glance of Govinda, they had regained their lives and stood up by their own strength. Thus then the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Killing of Denuka, the Ass Demon. So these verses I read flow into chapter 16, which is entitled Krishna Chastises the Serpent, Kaliya. So now we'll do text 44 responsively. Tayor Yasoda Rohinya. Putrayo Putravatsale. Yata kamam, yata kalam, vyadattam paramashishah.
Tayor yashoda rohinyo,
tayor yashoda rohinyo,
putrayo putravatsale.
Yasoda and Rohini, the mothers of Krishna and Balaram, respectively. Putrayo, to their sons. Putravatsale, who were very affectionate to their sons. Yata kamam, in accordance with their desires. Yata kalam, in accordance with the time and circumstances. Vyadatam, presented. Parama ashishah, first class enjoyable offerings. And the translation with the purport by the followers or disciples of Srila Prabhupada. You can repeat the translation some words at a time after me. Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini, acting most affectionately towards the two sons, offered all the best things to them in response to their every desire, and at the various appropriate times. And the purport. The word Paramashishaha indicates the attractive blessings of a loving mother, which include wonderful food, beautiful clothes, jewelry, toys, and constant affection. The words Yathakamam, Yathakalam indicate that although Yashoda and Rohini satisfied all the desires of their sons, Krishna and Balaram, they also properly regulated the boys' activities. In other words, they prepared wonderful food for their children, but they saw to it that the boys ate at the proper time. Similarly, the children would play at the proper time and sleep at the proper time. The word yathakamam does not indicate that the mothers indiscriminately allowed the boys to do whatever they liked, but in the proper, civilized way, they showered the blessings upon their children. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments that the mothers love their sons so much that they, as they embrace them, they would carefully check all their limbs to see if they were healthy and strong. Then the next several verses without the purport, so I should read. Text 45. Beautiful verses. You don't need to repeat it after me for now. Gatadvana shramam tatram majan non madana divi nivim vasitva ruchiram devyashram gandamanditao. By being bathed and massaged, the two young lords were relieved of the weariness caused by walking on the country roads. Then they were dressed in attractive robes and decorated with transcendental garlands and fragrances. Text 46. Jananyu paritam prasyam svadvanam upala litau samvishyavara sayayam sukam sushuspatu vraje. After dining sumptuously on the delicious food given them by their mothers and being pampered in various ways, the two brothers lay down upon their excellent beds and happily went to sleep in the village of Vraja. And then this text 47, which kind of winds up the pastime up to this point for this particular chapter. Evamsa Bhagavan Krishna Vrindavana Chara Kvachit Yayo Ramam Rite Rajan Kalindim Sakibir Vritaha. O King, the Supreme Lord Krishna thus wandered about the Vrindavan area, performing his pastimes. Once surrounded by his boyfriends, he went without Balaram to the Yamuna River. Omigyana Timirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bisnam Stapitam jena bhutale Svayam rupa kadamayam Tadati svapadantikam Vanchakalpa tadubhyascha Kripa sindubhya evacha Patitanam pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As early as in February 1969, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to three of his leading female bodied disciples. And he wrote, my dear little mothers, Yamuna, Malati, and Janaki. They're very early disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And he says, please accept my blessings. I lost my mother when I was only 14 years old. So therefore, I didn't experience much affection from my mother because I lost her at 14 years old. But now in my old age, Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna has given me so many young mothers to take care of me. And because he addressed the letter to Yamuna, Malati and Janaki, which also happens to be the wives of those three illustrious devotees who went to London. You know, with the Shamasundar, Gurudas and Mukunda, yeah, respectively, Yamuna, Malati and Janaki. And then Srila Prabhupada remembered it. And then there's another mother, Govindadasi. And she cooks for me. And she takes care of me when I'm not so well. And she's always asking me to please go there. Go there means where she is, possibly in Hawaii. Yeah. So then I will go and visit my other little mother in some time this month. So here we could see that in families that we come from, in a cultured family, there's different value systems of what it means to be in a cultured family. Yes. Srila Prabhupada says in another lecture, in a cultured family, that the mother's affection is always there. It never wanes. It only sort of terminates till her last breath when she leaves this body. Yeah. And in the formative stages of the children into teenagehood, the affection for the mother is also there and for the father. So therefore, in this way, the father and mother never forget the children because of their affection for them. But then Srila Prabhupada said that as the child grows up and becomes a sort of a young adult, the child may forget the affection of the mother and father due to bad association. So one is the birth parents, and the other is disciples to the Guru. Srila Prabhupada saw them as little mothers, as early as 1969. So these particular verses also bring out the eternal natural affection of Mother Yashoda and Rohini towards Krishna and Balaram. Yes. I'm just going to take it from Krishna to Devaki to Yashoda. In that way, so it becomes more prominent of Yashoda's position, actually. Yeah. In Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada gave a talk where he indicated that that out of deep affection, Mother Devaki, she was always anxious that that Kamsa would kill the eighth child, Krishna. And she also was aware that, fully aware, and Prabhupada says that she was so fully aware that she felt that God is coming into my womb. And not a son, but God is coming into my womb. And because she's a mother, and she felt that although God is coming as my son, but Kamsa will kill God. Then Prabhupada sort of begs the question that if she knows that God is coming as the son, and she's feeling so emotionally, affectionately that Kamsa will kill God who's coming as my son. So the affectionate nature of Devaki as a mother to son who is God known to her is overwhelming her. Because who can kill God? Prabhupada begs, nobody can kill God. It's like overwhelming her. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said, what can be done? A mother always forgets, even if God comes as a son, she forgets that my son is God. And that's beginning from Devaki. And therefore he says that the mother's affection, and Prabhupada Chakra, the mother's, is always like that. Always like that. And later on, in some talk, this is in Calcutta in 1972, and later on in some talk with some devotees like that, Srila Prabhupada indicated, and he also mentioned it at that time to his leading disciple at that time, Prabhu Vishnu, Prabhu, who's from the UK. He mentioned that you should preach with the courage of an English gentleman, and you should be affectionate like the heart of a Bengali mother. In other words, be like a lion on the chase, and be like a lamb at home. Like that. Yeah. So, in comparison to Devaki, Srila Prabhupada says in a very beautiful purport in the 10th canto, in the 3rd chapter, towards the end, that practically speaking, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva were very intimate friends. And Prabhupada uses the word non-different. They're non-different. So from the perspective of rasa, and not from the perspective of Krishna's appearance, you know, because you get to know Krishna and Sutapa and so forth from the perspective of Krishna's appearance, but from the perspective of rasa, practically speaking, Nanda Maharaj is of a madhurya form, sweetness. And Nanda Maharaj expands as Aishwarya in the form of Vasudeva. Because they're not different, but at the same time different. And similarly, practically speaking, Mother Yashoda and Devaki are non-different. So the opulent or Aishwarya form coming from the sweetness form is Devaki, is expanded from Yashoda. This is given in the purport by Srila Prabhupada in the third chapter towards the end. So it is quite apparent that that Krishna to Mother Yashoda is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a coward boy. Because she's a coward queen to the king, Nanda. So it is quite interesting that from simplicity comes opulence. Whereas in the material world, you have to give up opulence to become simple. Because the originality is simplicity. And Prabhupada in other places used to say that Nanda Maharaj is a very simple man. From simplicity comes opulence. So, in other words, the difference between Devaki, who is a feature, expansive feature of Yashoda in an Aishwarya form, opulent, is that she was able to understand, Devaki was able to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas Yashoda is not able to understand, that means she's beyond philosophy. There's no gyan for her, or vigyan. And if you make her understand that, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she'll take the local household broomstick, she'll hit you on the head and kick you out. This boy? That when lightning strikes and thunder there, you know, although he's with me, he comes more into cuddling into me, he's scared. And you're telling me this is the Supreme Lord? She'll kick you out of Nanda Bhavan. Such an amazing deep affection, motherly affection. So therefore, when Srila Prabhupada says that whereas Yashoda was not able to understand what kind of a child is sort of appeared to her, apparently born to her, that means Krishna consciousness is not philosophy. Krishna consciousness is not philosophy. His Holiness Gurudev Swami was quoting even one of Prabhupada's senior disciples, Bharat Raj Prabhu. When they were interacting, Bharadvaja Prabhu told His Holiness Giriraj Swami that, you know, Krishna consciousness is simply love masquerading as a philosophy. Which is the kind of thing here. Yeah, masquerading as a philosophy. So we have a lot of things to give up to go back to Goloka. Especially becoming a Panditji or a Shastriji. A lot of things to give up. To enter is simply Ras. So therefore you get two words. You get Bhakti Yoga, and the word Yoga indicates to link to Bhakti, to devotional service. But when one is super linked in a natural state, the word Yoga falls off. It's simply Bhakti. So therefore philosophy completely falls off. In that sense, it's simply devotional service. And this is the form of devotional service, which is the form of Madhya Yashoda. So, in another beautiful talk, Srila Prabhupada in July of 1970 in San Francisco, I'm just paraphrasing. I know I heard the lecture so many times, but I also have it yeah, transcribed with me. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada said that when Krishna is going to attack a demon as a boy, then it becomes a little bit of an anxiety or intense worry. You know, when I grew up, English is my first language, but when I grew up, we never heard of the word stress or depression. But we would say that my mother is full of worries. I'm not sure if the other cultures are like that. Full of worries, you know. But they wouldn't use the word stress or depression. This is like a term for psychologists or psychiatrists or something. But worry. My mother is full of worries, like that. So when Krishna apparently as a young boy kills a demon, then Prabhupada said that then Mother Yashoda would immediately go to Nanda Maharaj. Yeah? And Nanda Maharaj is a bit of a quiet gentleman. Whereas Yashoda is a bit of a vocal mother. Quite vocal. Okay. So Prabhupada says that she goes to Nanda Maharaj and she says, "Why do you allow this boy to go out?" Like that. "Why don't you lock him up?" Like that. So Nanda Maharaj is like, "Okay." Okay, it's like, "Oh, I have to lock him up." Where? Then Prabhupada just comments, "Just see, this is the mother's affection. This is a mother's affection." It's like this rasa is like an emotional ordeal. Now an emotional ordeal in the material world is not a very nice thing. But an emotional always in relation to from Mother Yashoda to Krishna. Prabhupada calls it extreme ecstasy in another place. Extreme ecstasy. So and then Prabhupada says, "What can be done? Mother Yashoda does not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Like that. And she's always, you could say, not covered, but Krishna keeps her covered. Because otherwise he wouldn't be able to enjoy. Wouldn't be able to enjoy a motherly affection. And there's a beautiful verse by Srila Prabhupada in his translation. I'll read it for you, which supports what we're discussing. It's in the 8th chapter of the 10th canto. The verse goes as follows. Yadi evam tari vyadehi. So this vyadehi means, now open your mouth wide, I want to see. This is that pastime in Brahmandagat where Krishna apparently adds some. Prabhupada uses the word clay. Clay means mud. So Mother Yashoda said, vyadehi, open your mouth, I want to see now. Then, you know, the verse goes, Tiyukta sa Bhagavan Hari. Now, how is it that Mother Yashoda said, I want to see now, but the word Bhagavan Hari is being used, which means the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And the next line goes as, Vyadata Avyahata Aishwarya. Now, without minimizing this, Avyahata Aishwarya means that Krishna, he does not minimize any of his potencies of his own absolute nature. Because Krishna needs to forget is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, Krishna regrets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a good regret, because we see that the servant, like Srimati Radharani, enjoys more by serving than the person who's accepting the service. That's how Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya. So when Krishna regrets this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he forgets his Aishwarya Bhav itself, as the Supreme Personality with full six opulences and full Bhagavan Hari. And then it says, the last line, Kridha Manuja Balakaha. So Kridha means past tense, and Manuja Balaka means exactly like a normal, innocent, ordinary, young human being, boy. That's what gives pleasure to Madhyasada. And Prabhupada gives such a beautiful purport. It's amazing. I'll just read it for you. Srila Prabhupada says, Mother Yasoda challenged Krishna, quote, if you have not eaten earth, then open your mouth wide, in a tari vyadehi. When challenged by his mother in this way, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, to exhibit pastimes like a human child, opened his mouth. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is full of all opulences, did not disturb his mother's parental affection, his opulence was automatically displayed, for Krishna's opulence is never lost at any stage, but is manifest at the proper time. That's the translation of the verse, now the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Without disturbing the ecstasy of his mother's affection. Can you imagine that Krishna is so sensitive with his relationships with his devotees? He does not disturb the nature of feeling ecstatic to serve him. Does not disturb. Amazing. Without disturbing the ecstasy of his mother's affection, Krishna opened his mouth and displayed his own natural opulences. When a person is given varieties of food, there may be 101 varieties, but if one likes ordinary shak, spinach, he prefers to eat that. Simple. Not, you could say, shaken or dismayed or disorientated by opulence. Similarly, although Krishna was full of opulences, now by the order of Mother Yasoda, he opened wide his mouth like a human child and did not neglect the transcendental humor of paternal affection. So beautiful. Srila Prabhupada says this. Now coming back to that same lecture in San Francisco in July of 1970, like that. So Srila Prabhupada, he was actually enjoying it. If you hear the tape, we should play the tape. He was actually enjoying it like that. And when Mother Yasoda chastised Krishna, oh, you have eaten clay? That Krishna said, no, Mother, they are all liars. And Prabhupada started laughing. He was like, he was at Brahmandagat. Best, you hear the tape, he is at Brahmandagat. And the way Prabhupada said, you know, and Krishna said, no, Mother, they are all liars. Like that. And then Mother Yasoda, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And then Mother Yasoda said, you don't respect your elder brother, Balaram? Is he also a liar? Because he's with the other coward boys, that Krishna ate clay or dirt, like that. And then Krishna says, well, he's also angry with me He didn't say that Balaram is lying. He said, but you know, my elder brother, what do you say in local language, elder brother?
Parabhai.
Yeah, in Brijbas language?
Dauji.
Well, Dauji, you know, he's angry with me. Krishna was very careful not to say he's a lie. And Prabhupada said, he's also angry with me. Right there. So then Krishna says, you want me to open my mouth? Madhaya Sara said, yes. Because I want to see the proof that you have taken dirt. But Krishna was hesitant. Why?
Because
Mother Yashoda may see his Aishwarya bhav. Krishna is so sensitive, that this is my mother. This is my mother. I can't. Open your mouth. And then Krishna opened his mouth. And you know, Krishna saw, and his mother Yasoda saw the entire creation, universe, and she saw many mother Yasoda. Prabhupada says, Krishna saw, and mother Yasoda saw in Krishna's mouth, thousands of Yasodas looking into Krishna's mouth, in Krishna's mouth. Prabhupada used the word thousands of Yasodas. Like that. And mother Yasoda became confused. And Prabhupada said, mother Yasoda is feeling some sort of jugglery is here. Prabhupada uses the word something jugglery. So Krishna was afraid that he will lose his sonhood to Mother Yasoda's affection. And not that Mother Yasoda will be bewildered by the opulent feature of Krishna as the source of everything. He was afraid of losing his reciprocal affection for his mother. Amazing. Yeah. Then Prabhupada says, well, Mother Yasoda, when she became like something like jugglery is there, Mother Yasoda then forgot that he ate clay. And then she simply told Krishna in a very, very motherly, affectionate, innocent way. Prabhupada said that Mother Yasoda told Krishna, all right, forget it. Don't do it again. Go. And Krishna was so happy that he did not lose his relationship with Mother Yasoda. Amazing. We'll take some time for some comments or questions, and then I'll conclude with one final anecdote from Srila Prabhupada. After the comments or questions, if anybody has. Okay, Panchi Guru Prabhu.
Okay. In the spiritual world, there is Vrindavan and Dwaraka, and also Navadvip. And so in Vrindavan, what age is Krishna in the spiritual world? Does he exhibit various ages of different forms? Or in the Goloka Vrindavan, what is the basic arrangement
with Yashoda and the Maharaj? Is he 5, 6, or is he 7, 8, 9, 2, or 3? Sorry. So what request is Krishna Shekhar Prabhu to help me out?
According to the pastimes he's manifesting, Prabhupada says, constantly, each one of the forms is eternal, and in each one of the pastimes that he enacts with his various devotees, they relate to him in that particular form. So that each one is an interior, and each one is unknown simultaneously.
Is that okay?
That sounds good to me.
Thank you very much, Mishishika Prabhu. you bailed me out.
But it also depends on the rasa that Krishna is exhibiting with his disciples.
Everyone knows Gopal. This is Gopal Prabhu. Yes. Prabhupada spelled his name out when he gave initiation. G-O-P-A-L. That is your name.
But you know, I'm just saying that in Dwarka, Krishna is the king and has wives and many children. And he appears as Lord Chaitanya. He has a different rasa with the people he's affiliating with. So he's anticipated many times, simultaneously one and different than all of these different.
Well, you know, Prabhu, is that okay?
That's okay. Sri Ram
has
a question.
Sri Ram, you have a question. But I can support the both of them, what they say, for whatever it's worth. They have enlightened us beautifully. Everyone knows that a mother is 90 years of age.
What?
A mother can be 90 years of age. And everyone knows that a son can be 70 years of age. Mother to son. So she became a mother with the first child when she was 20 years of age. And she's 90 years of age and the son is 70. And the son is a grandfather and she's a great-grandmother. But how will that mother who's 90 years of age see a son who's 70 years of age who's a grandfather? How would she see him all the time? His body has changed. How would she see him all the time? I give the microphone to Nirukula Mataji. She's smiling. Can you answer my question, please?
He's still her baby.
Yes. Despite the change of form. So, in this sort of life, within this world, this material world, if a mother can always see a son as son, although he's a grandfather, what to speak of this absolute truth, which supports what you're saying. It is always eternal in any form. Is that okay? Thank you very much. Shri Ram Panditi asked, then I'll come back to you. Is that okay? You have your hand up, right? Yes, please.
Thank you for the class. Maharaj, the question is, you mentioned that Yashoda was very strict and as compared to Nanda Maharaj, but Krishna's cover so that he can perform the leaders, the childhood pastimes. So on a similar line, Maharaj, it's a very basic doubt which I have. So speaking on similar lines, when we do our spiritual activities, we are like when we have an association of the devotees, we are always spiritually inclined to do something, but all of a sudden we see, you know, most of the times, the Maya covers us, which is again Krishna's external energy. Though we don't want to cover Maya, but somehow we are still going and we are trapped by Maya. So my question is, why, if that's the case, why is this created Maya? What is the whole idea? Because we never
want to be in mind. I'm not sure I'm going to answer your question, but one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, when speaking to Srila Prabhupada said, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I'm in Maya. Then Srila Prabhupada said, and retorted back, he said, don't talk nonsense, you're always in Maya. So when I heard that anecdote from the very devotee who experienced that with Srila Prabhupada, like that, so I questioned it and I analyzed it myself. So I'm not sure if I'm the right person to answer your question, because when I analyzed that anecdote, that exchange with Srila Prabhupada, my first, for whatever it's worth, realization when I came to Krishna consciousness and it probably still is there as a realization, is that when I came to Krishna consciousness, I realized that I am in Maya. Even today. Because there's a difference when you come to Krishna consciousness and when you're not in Krishna consciousness at all. So those who are not in Krishna consciousness, they are innocent in their ignorance. They are potential devotees, not yet. But they are innocent in their ignorance. They're not to blame, in a way. Because Krishna's Maya is there. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, you know that you are in Maya. But those who are not yet devotees, they do not know that they are in Maya. He's digesting. It's alright. Yeah. So, this is one of my initial realizations when I came to Krishna consciousness. Wow, I am in so much Maya. And I know it. But those who are not in Krishna consciousness, they are innocent in the ignorance. But because I realize that I am in so much Maya, I am guilty in knowledge. Opposite of innocent is guilty. Opposite of ignorance is knowledge. I am guilty in knowledge. Does that sort of answer your question? Is that okay? Yeah. So the microphone to...
One devotee said, Prabhupada, there's so much Maya here. And Prabhupada said, show us that place that there is no Maya, we shall all go there.
Yes. Nice. Nice. Thank you very much. Now the, you know, Mahaprasade Govindi Sarira Vindija. That bell, you know.
Oh.
Abhiram is interesting. Abhiram?
Bhakta Abhiram.
Bhakta Abhiram has a question.
I guess your name.
Bhakta. Yeah, Bhakta Abhiram has a question.
So, Panchagoda has mercifully blessed us to interact. Go ahead.
Oh, I'll try to summarize.
Can you just give me the question without the summary?
Yeah. So the question is, you were talking about how Mother Yashoda forgets that Krishna is God.
Mother Yashoda does not forget.
That Krishna, you explicitly said that.
Mother Yashoda does not forget.
Forgets his God, Krishna.
Krishna, yes.
Krishna forgets.
Not Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda never forgets that Krishna is the Son.
My question is like this Aishwarya Jnana is covering the Madhurya of Krishna's Leelas, and that perspective seems to have a kind of sentimental angle on it where we can take it.
What is your question?
What is the necessity and what is the application of our Jnana and our Vairagya in understanding Krishna? You know, so because it seems to become sentimental. It seems to become like we're talking about God, but at the same time we're talking about all these anthropomorphic humanistic.
Okay, I have your question.
So what's
I have your question.
What's our jnana?
I have your question.
Okay.
Now, I have a question. Thank you very much. Because, you know, people are hungry also.
Okay.
Now, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, and they were good Sankirtan partners actually. Of course, Haridas Thakur was not so happy with Nityananda as a Sankirtan partner, as an avadut. You know, yeah. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed them to go out, what he said? Bolo Krishna, Bhaje Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shiksha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used the name Krishna 3 times. Bolo Krishna, Bhaje Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shiksha. So he's telling his Sankirtan devotees like Lord Nityananda and also Haridas Thakur, you go out, chant the name of Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Bhaje Krishna, tell them to worship Krishna, and Kora Krishna Shiksha, follow Krishna's instructions. Right? That means those people at that time in that culture, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, they all knew who is Vishnu, who is Narayan, and who is Krishna. They knew. Otherwise, why would Mahaprabhu give such a direct instruction? But with Srila Prabhupada, it's a little different, although the same. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, requested him at the first meeting, you preach in the English-speaking language of the Western countries, you know, and also write books. Write books. Because people in the Western countries, you cannot tell them immediately, you go on the street, you know, Boro Krishna, who is this Krishna? Bhajak, why do I have to worship you? Who is this Krishna? Koro Krishna Shiksha. They wouldn't know. So therefore Srila Prabhupada has given us these books. To establish Krishna, Sri Bhagavan Swayam first. And therefore that is the most important aspect of Srila Prabhupada's contribution to this world. These books. When people read the books, then they identify, oh okay, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only for the Western people. I personally come from Vedic culture myself, from birth. We knew Ramayana, Mahabharata, Shiva Purana, this Purana. We knew all that. Yeah. We knew all that. Until I started reading, the first book I got was the first three volumes of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam those days. They were in three volumes. I read those three volumes, the first thing. I didn't get Bhagavad Gita or the smaller book. As soon as I read those books, everything became clear. I thought we knew it. I had to undo so many things, minus 20, minus 19, minus 18, minus 17, and come to zero, then I can add plus 1, plus 2, plus 3 from Prabhupada's books. Because I thought Krishna was my next door neighbor. It's too familiar. Ah, Krishna, we know, it's my next door neighbor. But when Srila Prabhupada received that instruction, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati could see that in the Western world they'll take to it. Because they don't have any minuses to minus. They can start from zero, plus one, plus two, Krishna, Sri Bhagavan, so on, through the books. So the books are not gyan. Srila Prabhupada said, this is my personal ecstasy, something like that. Right? These are my personal ecstasy. It's rasa. It's not that kind of philosophy that I was referring to earlier. Yeah. It's not like becoming a panditi or sastriji. Yeah. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said about the Krishna book. Srila Prabhupada said Krishna book is full of rasa. Then he added, but intertwined with philosophy. So people don't misunderstand Krishna's position. Yeah. I believe we should conclude. I'll just read this from Srila Prabhupada. It takes a minute. Okay. This is a beautiful lecture from Srila Prabhupada from Bhagavad Gita. It's quite amazing. He gives a Bhagavad Gita lecture in 1968 in San Francisco, March 26, and he puts in Ras. Because Bhagavad Gita is philosophy, in a way. So Prabhupada says, Yasoda feels, if I do not feed Krishna sumptuously, he will die. She forgets that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, which I said forgets, is subsisting the three worlds everywhere. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanam Eka Bahunam Vedantika Aman Kato Upanishad 2.2.13. That only one God is supplying the necessities of all other living entities. Now that very same personality of Godhead has become the son of Yashoda, and she is thinking that, quote, if I do not feed Krishna nicely, he will die. This is love, Prabhupada says. So this relationship of ashakti, or of attachment, is very sublime. It requires, then Prabhupada says, it requires time to understand there is such a position. That instead of asking God, quote, O God, give me our daily bread, give us our daily bread, unquote, you can think that God will die if you do not supply him bread. And that is the ecstasy of extreme love. Prabhupada concludes like that. That is the ecstasy of extreme love. Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Kadi Vaishnav Vrinda ki, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki, Tathai Go Premanande.